They saw a star unlike any other. They came searching, and they found the newborn baby, Jesus. We call them sometimes the three kings because of the great gifts that they brought. The gift of gold for a king, frankincense for a priest, and myrrh, a burial ointment for one who would die. We also, more rightly, call them the Magi. The word Magi means wise men, but they were wise enough to know they did not know everything. Maybe they came from Persia, or more likely from ancient Babylon, what would be the area of Iraq today. There, near the city of what is Baghdad today, was the observatory of Sippar. And so they would have been engaged in astronomy and astrology, seeing these signs. And the stars told them that a newborn king, really a Messiah, had been born. Keep in mind, too, that 600 years earlier, before Jesus, the prophet Daniel was King Nebuchadnezzar's chief magoi. He had been exiled to that area of Babylon, and there he served as a wise man for the king. Be it as it may, they search. They find little Jesus. They fall prostrate. They present their gifts, and they go back. But they go back, the gospel says, by a different route, not just physically to avoid wicked King Herod, but also spiritually. That light, that star that shone so brightly, now is the light within their soul. And their lives had changed. For us, we recognize them as canonized saints, Caspar, Melchior, Balthasar. And their relics are preserved today in the Cathedral of Cologne, Germany. Well, when we look at this, they were awakened, the epiphany, the awakening to Jesus. The world was awakened, Jew and Gentile, to the presence of Christ. And so, my brothers and sisters, as we celebrate this feast day, we have to remember that we too have been awakened to the presence of Christ, but also to remember that we're called to stay awake. So each day, take the time to offer your gift of gold. Gold is a precious and a pure metal. Well, when I look at my life, one of the most precious things I have is time. Take time, good time, not distracted time, not rushed, not dead tired time, but good time to give to the Lord each day through prayer. Yes, we punctuate our day with little prayers, but carve out that 15 to 30 minutes for prayer. Part of that is, of course, just saying our regular prayers, speaking from our heart. I would encourage you, though, to read Scripture. So if you started with the New Testament and read one chapter, which is maybe a page at most, and did that every day, you would cover the whole New Testament in a year's time. Or if you took the catechism and just read two pages a day, you'd cover the whole catechism in a year. But it's not just reading, of course. It's meditating, thinking about our life, thinking about what the message is. And all this helps us continue that search. To love someone, we have to know that person. But then when we fall in love, we want to know that person more. That's what faith is about. We want to fall in love with Christ and to know Him more, to keep that search alive in our hearts so that that light grows stronger each day. Secondly, we give our gift of frankincense. We recognize Jesus is our priest. In Latin, the word priest is pontifex, which means bridge builder. So Christ came to bridge the gap, the chasm that had been caused by sin, and to reconcile us with the Father. So we look then and see how Jesus continues His work through the sacraments that He instituted. So remember then, each day, as a baptized Christian, we should reflect that identity as a Christian. If we're confirmed, we ought to truly be that soldier of Christ who participates in the work of our Lord. These are sacraments that have left a seal on our soul. Remember that identity, a child of God, a soldier of Christ. Then, of course, if you're married, you pray for your marriage. You pray for your spouse, your children. Remember that identity. But then also think of the regular sacraments. Like today, we celebrate the Holy Eucharist. We're here to worship God. We should give our best time as we can to Almighty God. During the week, maybe there's a day when you can come to daily Mass. Or on Thursdays, especially, to come here when we have exposition of the Blessed Sacrament and pray in quiet. Make that your weekly holy hour. It will have tremendous effects in your life. Think of regular confession. By repenting, receiving forgiveness through that sacrament, we don't let sin separate us, but rather we stay united with our Lord. Cherish the sacraments. So offer that gift of frankincense. And lastly, the gift of myrrh, that burial ointment. We all at times face hardships, struggles, sacrifices, sufferings. Well, it's interesting, in Latin, the word patior means suffering, from which in English we derive the word patience and also compassion. So when we face these sufferings, whatever they may be, we do so with patience. We unite ourselves to Christ, who offered his sufferings for the redemption of our sins. And so we look at our lives and we say, well, here I have this struggle, this turmoil, but the Lord will be with me. I will patiently persevere. Or I have the medical problem. I patiently unite myself to Christ, offering that suffering to atone for my sins, the sins of others that I know, the difficulties of our world today. But it's uniting ourselves with the Lord. And compassion, too. We strive to have compassion for those who are enduring other problems. Being pastor here for many years, I've known many good people who've shown such compassion, which hasn't been easy. For instance, I remember Father Belli's father, who took care of his wife, the mom, who is suffering from Alzheimer's, but was so generous in his care. Or the Shear brothers and the family who took care of old Aunt Violet, who was just declining over time. John Starr, who cared for years for his wife, who was suffering, eventually died from multiple sclerosis. Or there's so many individuals who have children with special needs, but they show compassion. And that makes us more human. We live in an age where we eliminate those we don't want to care for, it seems, or we have this idea of a master race, what some people should be. That compassion, sharing in the sufferings of others, makes us human. It unites us with Christ. So three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But as we do that, we should be mindful that we have help. So when we think of the Magi seeing the star that led them to Christ, think of the saints. All those saints are real. In their lives on earth, they were lights penetrating the darkness. Well, they're still with us, invisible, but they're helping us. Have a devotion to a good saint. Could be your name saint, could be a confirmation saint. For myself, I've always had a devotion to Saint Joseph and Saint Michael the Archangel, my confirmation saint. As I get older, I pray more and more to Saint Anthony to find things that I've misplaced and lost and so on. But the saints are real, and they're with us. They're helping us, and their lives help us live in our life because they face the same situations we face, just a different time period. Also, the angels. Never forget, the angels are there. We hear so much during this Christmas season about angels. Like today, we hear of how the Magi had a dream and were warned about Herod. Well, it must have been an angel. Just like St. Joseph had a dream and an angel gave him a message. Think of your angel. We have a guardian angel, and they're there to help us. I know in my own life, so many times driving around here, I thank my guardian angel for protecting me from all the crazies on the road. And I'm sure you've had that experience. But to make it even more poignant, here's a letter that goes back to the Korean War from a young Marine and his name was Michael, that he wrote to his mom. So just indulge me. So, dear mom, I wouldn't dare write this letter to anyone but you because no one else would believe it. First off, I am in a hospital. Now, don't worry. Don't worry. I was wounded, but I'm okay. The doctor said I'll be up and around in a month. But that's not what I want to tell you. Remember when I joined the Marines last year? Remember when I left, you told me to say a prayer to St. Michael every day. You even named me after him. Well, I always have. When I got to Korea, I prayed even harder. Remember the prayer that you taught me. Michael, Michael of the morning, fresh chord of heaven adoring. And you know the rest of it. Well, I said it every day, sometimes when I was marching or sometimes resting, but always before I went to sleep. I even got some of the other guys to say it. Well, one day, I was on advanced detail up to the front lines. We were scouting for the commies. I was plodding along in the bitter cold. My breath was like cigar smoke. I thought I knew every guy in the patrol, when alongside of me comes another Marine I never met. He was bigger than any other Marine I'd ever seen. He must have been 6'4" and built in proportion. It gave me a feeling of security to have such a body near me. I looked at him, and I said, I've never seen you before. I thought I knew every guy in the outfit. I just joined at the last minute, he replied. The name is Michael. Is that so? I was surprised. That is my name, too. I know, he said, and went on. Michael, Michael of the morning. I was too amazed to say anything for a minute. How did he know my name? And a prayer that you had taught me. Then he said, we're going to have trouble up ahead. Trouble ahead? I thought to myself, well, with the commies all around us, that is no great revelation. Snow began to fall in great thick globs. In a brief moment, the whole countryside was blotted out, and I was marching in a white fog of sticky particles. My companion disappeared. Michael, I shouted in sudden alarm. I felt his hand on my arm. His voice was rich and strong. This will stop shortly. I looked back for the rest of the patrol. There was no one in sight. We lost them in that heavy fall of snow. I looked around as we came over a little rise. Mom, my heart stopped. There were seven of them, seven commies, seven rifles aimed at us. Down, Michael, I screamed and hit the frozen earth. I heard those rifles fire almost as one. I heard the bullets. There was Michael still standing. Mom, those guys couldn't have missed, not at that range. I expected to see him literally blown to bits, but there he stood, making no effort to fire himself. He was paralyzed with fear. It happens sometimes, Mom, even to the bravest. I jumped up to pull him down, and that is when I got mine. I felt a sudden flame in my chest. I even wondered what it felt like to be hit. Now I know. I remember feeling strong arms around me, arms that laid me ever so gently on a pillow of snow. I opened my eyes for one last look. I was dying. Maybe I was even dead. I remember thinking, well, this is not so bad. Maybe I was in shock. But it seemed I saw Michael standing erect again, only this time his face was shining with a terrible splendor. He seemed to change as I watched him. He grew bigger. His arms stretched out wide. Maybe it was the snow falling again, but there was a brightness around him like the wings of an angel. In his hands was a sword that flashed with a million lights. Well, that was the last thing I remember until the rest of the fellas came up and found me. I do not know how much time had passed. Where is Michael? I asked. I saw them look at one another. Where's who? One asked. Michael. Michael, the big Marine I was walking with just before the snow squall hit. Kid, the sergeant said, you weren't walking with anyone. I had my eyes on you the whole time. You were getting too far out. I was just going to call you when you disappeared in the snow. He looked at me curiously. How did you do it, kid? How'd I do what? This Marine named Michael and I were just son, the sergeant said kindly. I picked out this outfit myself, and there just ain't another Michael in it. You're the only Mike. He paused for a minute. Just how did you do it, kid? We heard shots. There hasn't been a shot fired from your rifle, and there isn't a bit of lead in them seven bodies over the hill there. I didn't say anything. What could I say? It was then the sergeant spoke again. Kid, he said gently, every one of those seven commies was killed by a sword stroke. This is all I can tell you, Mom. This is what happened. Love, Michael. Angels. Never forget, we have these angels and St. Michael the angel to protect us. And we need all this. Put it all together. Think of the world. It's there in the gospel today. There are those who are apathetic. The scribes, the chief priests, you think they would have wanted to run and see the newborn Messiah? No. So what? Who cares? Apathy. It's hard to live your faith when there's apathy, maybe even your own home. Or you think of King Herod. Go one more verse. He seeks to destroy, and he destroys the newborn babies, 2 years old and younger. King Herod, there are evil people in our world. There are, and they tell us lies. They want us to believe those evil lies. They want to take us away from Jesus. Cast it off. Remember, each day, offer those three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Have your devotion to the saints. Rely on your guardian angel, and you will stay awake. Awake to the presence of our Lord. You will be a shining star in this world today, in your own home. And one day when we pass from this life, we will be awakened to the presence of the Lord in heaven. May God bless you.